So this morning, as we talk about this, I just want to, I'll confess to you that I have a problem with my tongue. My prayer would be that you could all confess the same thing. Not because I want you all to be people that struggle with your tongue, but because we all realize the fact that we do. We all struggle with this. Even the one that has the most control and is able to only say the things that they really think they should say, you still struggle with it. So as we look through this, let's just confess together that this is a struggle that we have. This is something that hinders us in our walk with Christ, in our relationship with one another. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll walk through this. In verse 1, he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." That is a terrifying verse for me. Terrifying. Scares me to death. The first time I read this, I was feeling like I was called into ministry, and I was looking, and I remember I didn't want to teach because I thought, I don't want to be judged any stricter than I'm going to be judged, because I know who I am. I know how I say things. I know how I think about things. I know what I'm prone to do, and it scares me. He's saying that there is great responsibility for those who teach the Word of God. Teaching God's Word is a huge responsibility, and if you're going to teach it, you better teach it right. You better not use it for your own gain. You better not use it to try to pad how people should feel. You better tell people exactly what it says. There are those of you in here that teach, Sunday school or children or whoever. You better make sure that you're teaching properly. You better put some effort into it, because it is important. It is a huge responsibility. It says not many should become teachers, pastors, shepherds, because it is such a big responsibility. It is such a overwhelming thing. And I'm not saying that to discourage you from teaching people. I'm saying that to encourage you that when you teach people, to do it properly. Don't give your opinion when you teach. Tell people what the Word of God says. So I can tell you, my opinion is not worth a whole lot. You ask me for my opinion, I'll tell you. But it's not worth a whole lot. You ask me how to do something, I might tell you what I think, but it's not really worth a whole lot. But God's Word is so valuable. It is above everything else. It's so worthy of us listening to it. All right, so 3:2, let's move down there. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways." That's why we can all confess together, because it says right here, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body." I don't think this is saying that there are people that are able to do this. I think that he's saying none of us have the ability to do this. We all stumble in various many ways. I look at my life so often, and I feel like all I should be doing ever is just confessing. Just on my face before God, confessing all the struggles, all the thoughts that I have. You ever just, you're riding around and you just start thinking, letting your mind drift off on things, and it drifts into some places you're like, why in the world is it going there? Why in the world is that where my mind naturally drifts? We all stumble in many ways. And he's saying that if anyone was able to just not stumble in what he says, that everything else would be perfect. That's how strong of a thing this is right here. That's how difficult of a thing it is to control these words, these things that we say. Guys, these things that we say have repercussions, have consequences that go forever. They just keep on going. The things that you say to your children, to your grandchildren, I'm telling you, they stick with them. The things that you say to people around you, the way that you talk to people, it's important. It means something. It's not arbitrary, just about how you talk. I've confessed to you guys before that I struggled with cursing. Like, that was a big, really hard thing for me. I grew up with the junkyard mouth, and I knew how to use it. You know that how we talk, even in those things, just saying foul words, it has repercussions in this world. How I talk about things, and other people overhear it, it means something to them. This thing right here is difficult to control. Our tongues have great potential for harm. They have great potential for awesome things as well. You can encourage, you can lift up, you can tell people all kinds of awesome stuff. But it's so easy to say the wrong thing. It's like have you ever had a really sharp knife? Like, I'm talking like really, really. I bought a knife a couple years ago. I had gotten a speeding ticket, and I was in Tennessee, Gatlinburg area. It was kind of a speed trap thing. They said that I went from 0 to like 65 in my minivan in really fast, with it all full of kids and all that kind of. It was bogus, but it was what it was. And so I went to pay the ticket, and I ended up getting out of part of it. And so I thought, and there's this really big knife store called Smoky Mountain Knife Works. I used to love going there. It's like the size of Walmart, and just nothing but knives and cool stuff. And you just got a window into my mind. Knives are cool stuff. But I thought, well, my ticket, part of it got dismissed, so I don't have to pay that. So that's like a little bit of money extra that I was going to spend anyways. I might as well go to, you know, get a new knife. So I bought this knife, and I was using it when I got home later that day to cut something. And having a really sharp knife is awesome for a lot of things. You just barely touch something and it falls apart until you slip. And then what happens? I walked inside. I was in the backyard doing something. I walked inside and my hand was full of blood. And my other hand was covered in blood. And I told Natalie, I'm like, I think I need to go inside real quick and clean this up. And she was like, no, you need to go to the hospital. It wasn't as bad. It just, you know, it bled a lot. Your fingers bleed a lot. But our tongue is just like that, so sharp. It can be used for such awesome things. It can be used to proclaim the greatness of God. But it can be used to drag people through the mud so easily. It can be used to perpetuate gossip. It can be used to lie. It can be used to tear down. If we're able to control this one thing, we would be perfect. That's the seriousness of what this is. Verses 3 through verse 6, let's read that and then we'll come together with that. It says, if we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. I'll tell you what, that is scary stuff. That is serious stuff that he's laying out here. This isn't, hey, if you can just do this, everything will be better, health, wealth, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. This is saying that this member of our body, this tongue, is deadly. I love these examples. He kind of goes into this natural world of explaining things, but he talks about how small things can control great things. How many of you have ever seen a Clydesdale horse? In Jacksonville, we have the, I guess it's Bush or whatever, the beer company that has the big Clydesdale horses that they always show in the commercials. Well, we would go there because they would do a parade and you could see these Clydesdales. And I remember being a kid and walking up the first time and seeing it and thinking, that has got to be not of this world. Like, that can't be just a horse. That's like a horse and a giraffe and a cow, something mixed. I don't know. But just seeing it was amazing how huge it was. And the fact that you can put a bit in that horse's mouth and guide it wherever you want to go, just like a steering wheel. I don't like horses. I don't like riding horses because I don't want anything alive that I got to ride on top of. But it's such an amazing thing that such a small thing controls such a large animal. It's like when he talks about the boat. A giant ship is controlled by a small rudder. Now, as you get to big boats, the rudder gets bigger and bigger, right? But still, you look at these gigantic... living in Jacksonville, you have one of the beaches that we would go to is right there at Mayport. And Mayport, these huge ships come in to go to the port and to go to the base and everything. And you stand on the beach and you look up and it's like a skyscraper is just kind of putting past you real fast or real slow. Real fast is the wrong way to say it. It's amazing. And there's this very small rudder comparative to the size of that ship that's guiding it. I traded my jet ski for a boat a couple weeks ago because I apparently like frustration and I hate money because that's the only two reasons you ever do that. And one of the problems that this boat has is that the steering isn't working properly. And I'll tell you what, if the steering doesn't work properly, what does? Does it matter if it can go really fast? No. When I was a kid, we had jet skis, and the jet ski, the bottom part of where the nozzle is would break pretty often because we were kind of rough on them. And I remember a few times being out really far away on the river and it breaking and thinking, how in the world do I get back now? And so I'd point it and then start it and shoot across here, and you'd kind of go in a zigzag to get home. The way that something is steered is very, very important. None of you would get in your car to head home, and if the steering wheel wasn't working, none of you would just get in and be like, okay, let's go. We had a church van. it was rough. And one time, one of the guys that took all the kids home was driving it home, and he was just pulling out of the church parking lot, and the steering wheel came off. You know what he did? He just continued on. He went ahead and dropped all the kids. No, he stopped where he was. There was no point in going anywhere. It wasn't going to work. He's saying that this small thing guides and directs. It steers us around. Our tongues can lead us around just like that. And how we handle it is important. The way that we go out, if we notice, man, I've got a bad attitude and everything I'm saying today is negative, maybe we don't need to go out and be around all these other people. Maybe we need to take some time and pray. I know, I understand that we have jobs, that we have places to be, we have schedules, we have stuff to do. I'm just going to ask you, is it more important to go and be on time to things and to do all this stuff? Or is it more important to guard our mouths? Is it more important to make sure that when we are going and doing and around people, that we're prayed up, that we're confessed of our sins, that we're going out and representing Christ well in this world? I know we can't always stop and put our lives on hold. But when you notice that it's happening, you better confess. You better stop right then and figure out how, what it is that you need to get off your chest and go to the Lord about it. The next example that he gives in there is just how great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. We had a small forest fire just over here this week. Some people were burning some trash. They thought it had gone out, so they went and took a nap. And it burned a whole bunch of woods over here. It's pretty. I didn't even smell it. My friends came by and showed it or told me about it, so we drove over there. You know, it doesn't take somebody with a blowtorch to set the woods on fire, does it? Something so small can set so much on fire. Our tongues are the same way. Something so small. Think about your relationship with your husband or wife, or your kids or your family or whoever it is. Think about how one thing that you say today can affect that relationship for years and years and years. Think about something that somebody said to you 10 years ago that you still remember and think about. The tongue is a burning fire, and it continues to affect things long after it's said. it occurred to me yesterday, I was thinking about this and just thinking about some stuff, and I don't know why this occurred to me or why, it's nothing monumental, but once something is done, it's done, right? Once you do it, it's too late. Once you say it, it's too late. It's already out there. You ever been in an argument with your husband or wife, and you say something, you're like, ooh, man, that was dumb. I shouldn't have said that. And what do? You usually just keep on. You're like, I'm going to defend my position. I'm in it. Might as well keep going. There's been a few times like that, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm not real good at it. But every now and then, I'll catch it in my mind and just go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was dumb. That was bad. That was stupid. And I apologize. Now, that's rare. I'm like, I'm going to keep on talking. But usually, man, something so small that can just rip things apart, burn it all down. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. If you've ever been to SeaWorld, you've seen the gigantic orcas or killer whales or whatever. They teach those things to do tricks. Can you imagine going back a few hundred years and there's some sailors and they see some orcas out there and you're like, hey, you know, now we ride those things around in pools. They would think you're crazy. Now, I don't think we do that as much anymore because it ate some people. But, you know, when you go to SeaWorld and you stand down there and they bring it up onto the little plasticky pad thing so you can look at it, and it opens its mouth, and you realize its mouth is big enough for me to climb inside of. Like, that is a terrifying thing. And yet they blow a whistle and it flips around and dives down, does all kinds of stuff. We're able to tame all kinds of animals. We figured out how to make stuff. I remember, this is going to tell you a little bit about my family and how my background and everything, but I'll just tell you anyways. But I remember my aunt, I went to her house one time, and I hadn't even noticed it, but I didn't notice the one thing, because she had a prairie dog as a pet. Strange thing to have as a pet. It was kind of cool because it would come up to you and smile, and its teeth were real big. But there were sugar gliders and like flying squirrels. Well, it's just rats with wings, basically, over in the corner, and there are all these different animals. And then I'm sitting there and I'm talking to her, and after a while I realize there's an iguana that's as long as I am tall over in the corner, just hanging out, not in a cage, just on a branch, like sticking up from the ground in her house. And I thought, that you sleep with that thing just wandering around in your house? It could eat you. It's amazing the things that we have in this world that we just have, like, hey, it's no big deal. We just tame everything. And he says, we're able to tame all these things. We're able to ride around on Clydesdales and camels, and we can have zoos full of animals. There are people that get in the cage with tigers and lions and stuff. That just does not seem like a good idea to me. I see Siegfried and Roy, and I just figure that's just normal. It's a tiger. He says, but this tongue that you have in your mouth, it's more dangerous than all of those things. It's more unruly than all of this stuff that we can tame in this world. It is a evil thing. I love the way that he says it. I love it and I hate it, I guess I should say. All these things have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Saying this thing right here, we can use it for awesome things like singing praise to God. That we can open a hymnal and we can see the words that are written by somebody and we can sing those out. that we can pray for one another and bless each other. And we can curse and tear down. We can say awful things about people. We can be racist. We can be sexist. We can do all kinds of things with this mouth, with this tongue. You ever hear when you're young and maybe you say a cuss word or something, and what do they say? You kiss your mama with that mouth? I remember people saying that to me and thinking like, yeah, I guess so. It didn't even occur to me. We defile ourselves by what we say with this. That's what Jesus talked about, right? When he talked about the Pharisees and they say these people eat with sinners and all this kind of stuff, he says it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a person. I always thought it was weird because he says it just goes down and turns into waste and is eliminated. He says it's what comes out. It's what you say. It's how you talk. He says it's a restless, evil, full of deadly poison. That is a scary thing to know, that you're living with that right there all the time. This life with Christ is not meant to be a luxury cruise where we just relax and one day we get to heaven. We're given something like the tongue that we are called to dominate through the Holy Spirit. That we're called to overcome in the name of Jesus. Our natural proclivity, our natural just the way that we're spring-loaded to say an ugly thing. You don't have the ability to do that in and of yourself. You can't. We can't tame our tongues. It is only through Jesus and the power of the Spirit living within you that you can tame that evil thing that lives within your mouth. You want to see somebody who's displaying the life of Christ? You ever want like a litmus test of if someone is in Christ or not? Listen to the way they talk. It doesn't take long to figure it out. We act so often like it's no big deal about what we talk about what we say, how we treat one another with our mouths, the gossip. We act like it's not a big deal. And yet, James, under the power of the Holy Spirit, seems to be thinking that it's a mighty big deal. He goes even further to kind of push that thought when he says in verse 11 and 12 here, he says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. He's alluding to this fact that what is in your heart comes out through what's in your tongue, or what's coming out of your tongue. He's saying salt water doesn't come out of a fresh pond. You don't go into the woods and find a spring that's shooting up salty water. I don't know, that's kind of an odd thing anyways to me. But a fresh water spring, you don't go to it one day and it's got fresh water and the next day it's got salty water, right? It is what it is. He talks about grapes. You know, you don't go and gather a bunch of grapes from an olives or go to a grapevine and pull olives off of it. No one would think that was normal, would they? If you went tomorrow and you had a grapevine in your yard and you started plucking it and it was like, these are olives, how many of you would just like, okay, cool, and go about your day? None of you. You would be completely, in the words of my friend in Tennessee, bumfuzzled. When he said that, it used to get me every time. But it would not make sense. He's saying the same thing about you. If you say that you have Jesus Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit residing within you, empowering you to live in this world, and yet you got salty speech, there is something that's not adding up. If you say that you're a grapevine and there's olives constantly coming out, it doesn't make any sense. There's a couple other verses that really stuck out to me this week. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it for you. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." Just let that sentence sink into your mind for a minute. "We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." When you see such a grand description of our relationship with Christ, that we have access to the Father through the sacrifice of Christ, and that he has sprinkled our hearts clean and is in the process of washing our bodies to be clean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for that to go along with setting the world on fire with evil with our speech. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for us to have a new heart and yet for us to talk like it's the old one. The other verse that stood out is Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. It says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes gathered from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of its heart, out of his heart, produces good, and the bad person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." What comes out of your mouth is proof of what is in your heart. And if that does not terrify you, you're not paying attention to what's coming out of your mouth sometimes. The question I'll leave you with this morning is, what's coming out of the abundance of your heart? What's coming out of the treasure that's right here? Are you glorifying God with your speech? Are you dragging others that are made in his image? And that clicked with me this week in a way that I don't think it has before. When you denigrate people, when you say evil, even if you feel like they deserve it, you are denigrating someone who is made in the image of God. Have you ever stopped to really think about that? The fact that people can be racist, have you ever considered that and yet believe that they are in Christ? Is hogwash. If you believe that you're better than someone who's made in the image of Christ, you're crazy. When you denigrate people with your mouth and yet try to bless God on Sunday, there's something that's not adding up. 2 and 2 doesn't make 6. And this would be like 2 and 2 making a zillion. It doesn't work. The last thing that I thought about was, basically, your tongue and your heart are linked. And what it is that one says what the other's thinking. You ever think about that? This is just saying what's going on right here. There's a lot of times over the years I've thought about it, like, I'd never say that. I'd never say that to somebody. Hear somebody say something evil or mean or ugly. Like, I just can't believe I'd never say something like that. But you know what I catch myself doing? Doing it. And oftentimes going, but I'd think about it. I may not say it out loud, but I'd think it pretty loud. I might even write it down because I'm so irritated about it. I'd never tell them, but I'd just write it down to keep it to myself. I might say it when they couldn't hear me. What you say out loud is what your heart is thinking about already. Jesus didn't come and make it a whole lot easier on us. He came and he basically said, what's going on in your heart means so much more than what is going on in your life. He says, because the whole thing starts right here. The way that you talk about people, the way that you say things to people, it starts right here. The sin that you're entertaining in your life, it all comes from right here. It's what you allow yourself to grasp onto and seek to bring you pleasure above God Almighty. I'm here this morning to tell you, to confess to you, And I struggle with this. I struggle with this. We all struggle with this. Let's struggle together and let's confess together that it's an issue for us. And let's be so quick when we offend one another, when we say something evil, let's be so quick to apologize. Let's make sure that we set the example for this world of ones who are not perfect, but know the one who is perfect. Who are not perfect, but are going in that direction. That's what this life is all about. It's not about being perfect, because you're never going to be perfect, ever. You just won't. Till you get with Jesus, and He gives you a new body, and completely remakes you, then you'll be perfect. But right now, you're going to struggle. And that's okay. But the point is, struggle. Wrestle with it. Don't just let it overcome you. If you went to see a wrestling match and the one person just laid down and let the other person body slam them or choke slam them, like Stephanie was talking about, you know, everybody'd want their money back. You're like, what is going on? That doesn't make any sense. Our job in this life is to wrestle against these things, not just to say whatever comes into our mind and be like, oh, it's just what I'm thinking. That's evil. That's evil. It's not just kind of not the greatest thing. It's evil. And it sets an example that your heart, that there's something blocking between your heart and our Father. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's like the little plastic strip or the paper that they put in flashlights when you get them at the Walmart, and you got to pull that out before it works. Or maybe like a toy that you get from McDonald's. I don't know what all you get. But it blocks the battery from making contact, right? When we have sin in our hearts, it's the same thing. He's not going anywhere. But we pull away from Him. We put things in between our fellowship with Him. Confess those things. Turn away from them. Tear them down. It's enough not just to say like, well, just walk away from it. Try to do better. Man, start a war in your life against those things. Use every weapon in the arsenal that you have to destroy them. Allow Jesus to be seen in this world by how you talk, not Satan. Let's pray.